Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Anton, are you keeping warm this weekend?
I'm actually roasting currently, Dave, because I'm sitting in a spot where the sun is streaming in and it's actually uncomfortably warm.
Right, indeed. Okay, fair enough. But it's just when it gets to the evening times and there aren't... Oh, who cares? Come on, let's move on. Okay, what have you got for us this week, Anton?
I make it a personal aim in my life to drag you into as much small talk as... How's the family?
Yeah, small talk. Yeah, no, I'm a good old small talk talker.
Good. Yeah. Big news of this week, Dave.
Yes.
Joe Exotic didn't get his pardon.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I mean, was that ever a real thing, was it? I mean, like when you see some of the people he pardoned, I suppose it was.
Well, this is exactly it. I think there seems to be a trend in the people that he pardoned that they will be of some potential use to him
absolutely.
In the future.
Absolutely. So he's got 140 people in his pocket, including Lil Wayne.
Well, I suspect Lil Wayne, I think there might have been a very clear quid pro quo, what with Lil Wayne coming out and supporting him in advance of the election. So that might have been
the
back end of that deal. Right. Interesting thing about Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne appears as a puppet in a Nicki Minaj song about having sexual intercourse with rappers, which is ripped off the Notorious B.I.G., which is a sample of Pants and Blues by James Brown. Which is a hugely underrated song, Dave, now that you mention it.
I don't know what you're talking about, frankly, but I do believe... I do know there was another rapper in the 120 people he let go. A guy called...
there was.
Kodak Black.
Yes.
Who is he? What does he do? No idea.
Well, there was Kodak Black, there was Lil Wayne, and then there were a lot of people who down the track might be useful to him, including Steve Bannon, because
he's chief strategist, for a couple of years, and then he kicked him out. But what do you call it? Steve Bannon could still face the other kind of civil lawsuits.
He could. Steve Bannon could face lawsuits, and state lawsuits, as could Trump and all the rest of the family. So in among the pardons, most of them were of who could at some point in the future be of value to him. Evidently, he did not think that the Tiger King Joe Exotic was going to be of much value in his post-presidential life, which came as a huge disappointment to Joseph Maldonado Passage, as Tiger King Joe Exotic was originally known.
Joseph Maldonado Passage, I like it. Yeah, okay.
Who was so expectant of his pardon that he had a stretch Ford F-150 pickup truck limo outside and had hair and makeup lined up because he hasn't done his hair in 2.5 years.
Oh, that's terrible. You nearly feel... Well, I mean, he went to jail for what? For breaking wildlife laws and saying he was going to kill your woman. Hello, cats and kittens.
Well, let's not candy coat this too much. In the first half, yes, he broke wildlife laws. The second half, he didn't go to jail for saying he was going to kill. He went to jail for plotting an attempted murder.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, that's a bad thing, no matter how you slice it. So he is...
Do you know, I saw the series and I've forgotten. Wasn't there a dead body possibly buried on one of their grounds or something? Do you remember that? No.
Oh, Dave.
Some ex-husband.
Oh,
no. But
there's layers.
Wait a minute. He claimed that Carol Baskin's husband was dead bodied under the ground of her place.
Exactly.
Try that for a zoo.
I think it's time for you to go right back to the start of Tiger King and watch the entire thing again. Anyway, that's all Joe Exotic is going to be doing because he's in the clink for 22 years and he ain't getting out thanks to friend Trump.
Okay, fair enough.
In other news, cocaine hippos, Dave.
Cocaine hippos, yeah.
Huge problem in Colombia.
Okay. The hippos are all taking cocaine, are they?
No, that'd be very, very... Do you know what a hippo does when it's angry?
Oh, God. Hippos are very dangerous.
Extremely. Hippos are the leading cause of death in sub-Saharan Africa.
Really? Like, as
yes,
in,
they are. They
as
are,
in hippos, you mean death of people?
Well, sorry, I should clarify. I suspect, like almost every other country, things like COPD, AIDS, heart disease are bigger killers.
Kind of up there, all right. Yeah.
But if mammalian killers, so you look at lions and tigers and bears, oh my, they are nothing compared to the hippo. The thing most likely to kill you in sub-Saharan Africa is the hippo.
Were you ever at the zoo in Monaco?
Have you ever watched Starships Burning off Orion's belt? I haven't, Dave.
Right, Blade Runner stuff. No, but seriously, like, the palace of Prince Rainier and all those people. There's a big... Okay, I'll start this. Okay, it's up on a big hill, right? But on the side of the hill, you won't believe this, but I'm sure you can check it out. You can probably Google it. It's there's a zoo on different levels. And it's fascinating because I remember being there once, not so long ago actually, and looking down to see, somebody said, there's a hippo in that part there. And I spent 10 minutes and eventually this thing just comes up out of the filthy water. It was amazing, huge.
What? I'm slightly surprised because my understanding was that Monaco is some of the most expensive real estate in the world. Why have they given over large chunks of it to hippos?
Because, no, not to hippos, it's a zoo. It's a zoo with about
100. But there's a hippo in the zoo, so I assume the hippo has some real estate.
The thing is, it's actually part of the cliff where the actual castle is. It's actually on the side of a cliff. I know that sounds kind of weird, but it actually is. There's about 150 or 160 species in there, and it all started in the 1950s. I remember reading as you walk in and all that kind of thing, and they wanted to have exotic animals, and they did, and they gave away a lot of leopards. Because you know your woman, what's her name? Oh God, stay with me for a second.
Grace.
Born Free, Virginia McKenna. No, not Virginia McKenna, she's an Irish actress. Whatever her name was, anyway. She made sure that they got rid of the leopards and they're back out in the wild, but all the other animals, and the hippo was there still
on a cliff.
On a cliff. Virginia McKenna, was that her name? I think it was. Yeah.
No, that's the same name you just gave us. As free as the wind. Yeah. Anyway, where were we? Cocaine hippos. Yes. Oh, yeah. So Pablo Escobar, who greatly misunderstood philanthropist Pablo Escobar, one of the things that he did was he, like the monarchy in Monaco, created a zoo. He built his own personal zoo on his 7,000 acre.
Joe Exotic, are we?
Okay, exactly. Yeah, pretty much the same thing. His own 7,000 acre estate, he put in things like flamingos and all the rest of it, and some of the stuff that he put in there was hippos. When they removed him from this mortal coil, there was nobody there to look after the hippos, and some of them escaped. Wow. Apparently, hippos breed like blubbery rabbits. So there has long been an understanding that there are hippos wandering about Colombia and they are causing an environmental problem. Now, apparently, it has gotten completely out of hand. There are something between 80 and 100 hippos which are terrorizing the country's lakes and rivers, and something is going to have to be done with them, the idea being that they either be shot or castrated.
So a cull of some sort, yeah?
Yeah, something of a Sophie's choice if you're the hippo, but it's bad news for the 80 to 100 of them.
Right, indeed, yeah. Mm.
We talked briefly about movies. Did you see the movie with Tom Hanks where he lived in the airport?
Oh, The Terminal, yeah. Of course I did, yeah. With Stanley Tucci, yeah.
It happened for real.
It's happened for real. That happens occasionally, doesn't it? I mean, maybe.
Well, actually, now that I think about it, wasn't that rooted in historical fact? Wasn't there a man that The Terminal was based on?
100% it was rooted in historical fact. Yeah, absolutely it was. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that historical fact has repeated. A man flying from LA to Chicago, when he arrived in Chicago's O'Hare Airport, he decided that he was too frightened of COVID-19 to leave.
Victor Navorsky. That was Tom Hanks. My name is Victor Navorsky, and he was learning English. It was a woman from Wales was the leading female in it. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Mini Driver.
No, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Sorry.
Sorry, go
Where
on.
Where was I?
I don't know. He's stuck.
Was Catherine Zeta-Jones in The Terminal? I only recall Tom Hanks.
Yeah, she was the kind of slightly, ever so slightly love interest, but not really love interest, because she was actually having an affair with a pilot or something, and he sort of found out and wagged his finger at her. Anyway, go on.
My God, you know so much about it. Well, in this instance, it was a Californian man by the name of Aditya Singh, who has been living in O'Hare Airport for 3 months. Right. And he was only discovered because apparently he picked up a security badge that belonged to somebody else and tried to pass it off when he was asked for ID himself. And he has been arrested. But it's kind of impressive to live in a secure chunk of O'Hare Airport for 3 months and not have anybody notice you.
No, that's amazing. Yeah. And why was he living there? Why not, says you?
No, COVID-19. He arrived in from LA, said that he was frightened at the thought of leaving the airport.
Can I just ask something here? Because this is really scary about me and my... Did you already say COVID-19 earlier on? Did you?
Oh, yeah. I say a lot of things twice during these sessions, Dave. Yeah, it happens.
I'm forgetting so much.
Do you remember the lad who was able to play the organ but couldn't remember his own wife? That's what it's like. Anything I say to you in the last 3 minutes, you've no idea what it was. Something I said to you 9 months ago, you can quote verbatim.
Yeah, I'm sure that's.
We need to study you.
That's a thing, isn't it?
Well, it links nicely to a story related to that. A man in Britain has thrown away a hard drive worth 120 million.
I saw this. First of all, are you sure?
It's being reported, Dave.
Oh, sorry. Right. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Yeah. Tell me.
This man. Yep. He harvested. What do you do? He mined Bitcoin. I don't know what that is either. And stored it on his hard drive back in 2013 when Bitcoin wasn't worth an awful lot. He then the value of Bitcoin climbed so that the amount that he had, which wasn't worth a lot back in the day, is now worth something in the region of about 9 million. This is when he notices that his hard drive is missing.
Yeah, and in the last week, each blinking piece is worth 9 million. It's unbelievable the way it's gone at the moment.
It's shot up so that he now estimates that it's worth $273 million.
Right, and he's offering money to find it, isn't he? He threw it away.
He has gone to Newport City Council and he has said, look, I have this hard drive that got thrown out a number of months, if not years ago. It is somewhere in a landfill, but it's worth $273 million. So how about I give you $100 million to let me dig, and if I get it, we'll split the money.
Yeah, did you know something about all of this Bitcoin here, Anton? Adrian Weckler has been in here twice telling me about Bitcoin. I do my best, I really do. But he does it like for morons like me. And I'm just going, really? And I think I know what he's talking about. Like Bitcoin, is Bitcoin gambling? Is it investing? What is it?
I have to say, Dave, I'm in the same boat as you. I chaired a tech conference one where a man talked about using radiators to make bitcoins.
Whoa, pull back on that for a second. You what did what? You shared a tech conference. Did you now, Elon? Tell me more.
I was
about
as surprised
this.
As the next man. Yes, in fact, I have chaired many a tech conference over the years, Dave.
I like the way one of the
discussions was they're making radiators that make Bitcoin. I'm not kidding you. Okay. This is an actual thing.
Okay.
And I remember looking at it thinking, something in that is very interesting, but I don't understand any of it. And I just abandoned the whole thing.
And Bitcoin, if you had, you'd now be a trillionaire.
Exactly. Do you know what else you can ignore totally? Blockchain, Dave. Nobody knows what it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's blockchain and there's Coinbase and Itbit and Bitstamp and all these kind of
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Just ignore
what they are. But anyway, hold on a second now. He was mining, as you call it, Bitcoin on his personal laptop. And did he throw the laptop away? Is that it?
Yeah, I think the laptop became redundant. Isn't there a law? Was it Parkinson? Is that the lad? So it became defunct. He left it obviously in a corner. Then he threw it out without thinking. Then somebody went, you know, I think I have some Bitcoin somewhere. Then he looked up the price of Bitcoin and went, wow, I have 9 million quids worth of Bitcoin. Where is it? Oh God, I think it's in that hard drive that I threw out. And in the time that he was looking to try to figure out where it ended up, the value went up to $250 million. He gets onto Newport City Council and goes, look, lads, can I dig in your landfill? Yabik, yabik. To which they say, go away.
And I presume we're talking about tons and tons, hundreds of thousands of millions of tons of landfill to dig through.
Exactly. He's never going to find it. But if you had a shot at 260 million, this is like the Fenn treasure. Wouldn't you start digging just on spec?
Yeah, but I mean, the point about it is that he wants them to dig and he says he'll give them 50 million or whatever. But I mean, if they don't find it, they don't get anything, right?
Exactly, and they have to put up with some lad with a shovel out there for the rest of his life. And undoubtedly, I mean, the publicity, which may happen anyway, is going to cause other people to go digging in the landfill, and it's
and
generally going to be
a mess. The landfill fires and the dangerous gases that have come out of it anyway, it's definitely not worth it because it was 4 years worth of garbage. But the point is, I mean, like if Bitcoin, they say now, is worth about a trillion. By the way, isn't there a finite amount of Bitcoin out there? And that's it. Something like that.
I refer you to my previous position about not understanding it. But I think you are, my understanding, as limited as it is that, yes, there is a finite amount of Bitcoin.
Bit like
the gold standard, Dave.
Make more money. It's just bizarre. I don't quite get it all. Anyway.
Have I ever mentioned to you about the top of the Washington Monument?
The top of the Washington Monument. No.
The Washington Monument is the big, tall, pyramidal-looking obelisk in Washington. That's a big pokey yoke.
Yes.
What I find interesting about it is...
I had my picture taken outside it only 2 years ago.
Ah, well then you'll know. What's on the very tip top of it?
I can't remember. I don't know. I don't know if I was up there. I wasn't actually. I don't know.
What's on the very tip top of it is what we would call aluminium and what the Americans would call aluminum.
Aluminum.
And the reason it's up there is because when the Washington Monument was built, it was a precious metal. Oh. It was extremely expensive because it was very difficult to make. So they clad the top of the Washington Monument in something really fancy. And years later, improved industrial processes meant that they effectively wrapped the top of it in tinfoil. Isn't that kind of cool?
That is pretty amazing, all right. Absolutely.
Big news from Thailand, Dave.
Big news from Thailand, Dave. Yeah.
Yep, giggling bread and joyfully dancing salad are dishes now available in restaurants in a hospital in Thailand, thanks to the recent legalization of cannabis-infused cuisine.
Does the bread actually giggle, or just if you eat it, you find yourself giggling?
I'm unclear, but I assume it's the latter. It's one of a series of different things that are available, including happy pork soup, deep fried bread topped with pork and a marijuana leaf, and a selection of crispy cannabis leaves served with ground pork and chopped vegetables.
Glad to hear that. Okay, next time I visit Thailand, I'll sample the local cuisine.
Well, it's interesting because they one of the diners in the restaurant in the hospital where they are serving this, it's a hospital apparently that specialises in the research into medicinal cannabis, talked about some of the dishes and said that the taste of the cannabis leaves was similar to everyday vegetables. I was intrigued by this, but that the after effects were quite different. And she went on to say, it makes my throat dry and I crave sweets. Who knew?
All right. Who knew indeed? Okay, have you got one last story? See the way I did that?
Yeah. So would you like a cup of tea before you go? I have one. There's a hotline if 2021 is getting too much from you.
Yep.
There is a Scream hotline that you can ring and just shout at.
Oh, is that for like COVID people and living alone and going mad and living in isolation? Kind of
exactly.
Thing?
It right. is. It is for people
Do you
who...
the Screamers in Ireland?
Oh, this rings a bell.
Yeah, they bought an island in the 1970s, Atlantis, I think it was called, kind of primal therapy stuff and all the rest of it, and repression of emotions and all the rest of it. And they had three cottages in Innisfree, but then they bought this thing in wherever it was, Burton Port or something like that. And yeah, that was it.
Do you remember the Shakers?
I used to scream a lot. The Shakers? No, I don't. Who were the Shakers?
The Shakers, likewise. The Shakers are now familiar. Are now most famous for a style of furniture. Very simple, not ornate, semi-artisan furniture, which is kind of trendy kitchen stuff now. But Shaker-style furniture was a big thing in the States, and they were famous in the early 1900s for this type of furniture. But the reason they were known as the Shakers was because part of their religious observance was they wobbled. Like the Screamers.
Hold on, where did this start? You're screaming into a phone, right?
Yes, you scream into a phone, and they are recording your screams, and they are then going to upload them to a website. Christ alone knows why, but that's the plan.
And is it like screaming in surprise or joy or anger or excitement?
It can be anything. It's catharsis, Dave. Whatever you have deep inside that you want to let free, it is that. You want to get loaded, you want to have a good time, that's the place to go. Either put it up on your website.
Hey,
one final
see
the
thing. Way he did that. You want to get
thanks,
have a
Dave.
Good time.
Oh, I knew you'd
well,
like that one.
Look at the way he did that. My God, I'm impressed. Yeah. But do they have a kind of do they categorize them into a howl or a screech or a shriek or a squeal or a yell?
They may do. There may be subcategories. I don't know. They haven't worked out what way that the spider
Ferguson
of the website
or
is going.
A drill instructor in the army would probably be way
on more. The subject of drill instructors in the army, did you see that they've now started to include Baby Shark in the repertoire?
No, I did not see that.
You've seen Full Metal Jacket. I love working for Uncle Sam. Lets me know just who I am when I die in combat zone. Lower my body 6 feet. All that.
I know about Baby Shark.
Well, they're now using it during marching for GIs. Final story, Dave.
Yes.
I know you will have seen it, but I don't think we should let this go without mentioning it. Donald Trump had a Diet Coke button.
Had a Diet Coke button that he wore on his jacket?
No. On his desk. He had a red button.
Right. Not a badge that we call it. It's a button on his desk. Okay, fine. And what happened?
Now, this was rumored and talked about, but we didn't have proof of it. We now have proof because the new administration has confirmed it. He had a red button in a little walnut plinth that when he pressed it, a man would appear in the Oval Office carrying a tray with a Diet Coke on it.
Hold on, you're telling me that he had a button for Diet Coke, but he didn't pour it himself. It went to a different room and somebody heard a buzz and went, oh God, he wants some Diet Coke again, and they had to bring it in on a tray.
Correct. Grown man with the capacity to either get up and walk to the door or use either of the two telephones on his desk or go, excuse me,
grown,
can I have a Coke?
Grown man with the capacity to walk to the door. What a cue. Thanks very much. Anton, good luck. Thanks.
Bye, Dave.
See you. Bye.
Dave Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.